Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We give glory and honor to God, who is worthy of all praise. And we bring greetings to you from America. And we have heard about you. And since Brother Mark and Sister Rita have been coming here, and so we came to see, are you real? Are you real? Yes, you are real. And so we have enjoyed our time in Belize so far, and we thank God for what He's doing in all of our lives, because God truly has a work to do in every one of our lives, and He has a work for each one of us to do. We did not come to the Father's field to be idle, but God expects us to be laborers in His field, because the fields are white unto the harvest, but the laborers are few. And so God expects every one of us to do a job. Everyone has a job to do, and He expects all of us to do the job. Now, I'm a very quiet person, and I speak very soft. So I don't know if you will be able to hear me, but I'm going to try. I like to move around, so forgive me. So, well, we thank God that we are here, and the reason we are here is because God snatched us out of a horrible pit. I don't know about you, but I think we all came out of that horrible pit. This one thing I know, I don't want to go back. Amen? I don't want to go back. He delivered me from a horrible pit, and I don't ever want to go back. But we must understand the dealings of God. How did He do it? You know, because I was a young man. I was in trouble. I knew I was in trouble because my soul was troubled. And I had trouble. And I came by, it was one Sunday night, and I came by this church, and they were singing. You know, praise God for anointed singing. Amen? That we get the songs by the Spirit, and we sing with all of our heart. And listen, brethren, the words are very important that we sing. It's just like when we read the Bible, these words are very important. But when we sing the songs, it's very important. That's why it's so important that the music doesn't go louder than the words. Because we need to hear what we're singing. We need to think about what we're singing. And so, the musicians, you're not the star of the show. Jesus is the star of the show. Amen? Yes, yes, He's the one. And so, I heard the singing, and I came in and sat in the back of the church, and after the service was over, they began to welcome me. They said, hello, we welcome you to come back. So I came back again, but I had no peace because I was troubled inside. And then again, I kept coming back until one time the preacher was talking, and he was preaching out of Matthew 24, Mark, one of your favorite chapters. And he said, what if the Lord comes and you're not ready? And I said, oh my God. And it was a big church. And there was 300 people in the church. And I was way in the back. And he said, now, if you want to get right with God today, because if he comes and you're not ready, you're going to go to hell. And I'm telling you, it was like the Spirit of God lifted me by the neck, and I found myself down on the altar before God. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God took a hold of me, and I began to weep, and I began to cry, and I began to speak in tongues, and I knew that the power of God was flowing through me. But do you know what was happening? The power of God was cleansing me from all of my sin, because if we repent of our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amen. Amen. But what I want to tell you about, what happened? Because you came the same way. I know you did. Amen? You came, God brought you in. He took you by the neck and He brought you to the altar. And you cried out. You repented of your sin. You were sorry for your sin. You turned away from your sin and you turned to God. And you said, take my life.
Yes.
But what happened? Really? What really happened in here? I think about these things. Because, you know, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every worker in the kingdom knows these words. You should know them by heart. And so, I was a dead soul. Weren't we? We were dead. When we came to God, we were dead. We were walking around and thought we were doing things and we were eating and sleeping and having our life, but we were dead men walking around because we had no life in here. So what God had to do, let me tell you that it's very simple. God saw that all of His creation were dead in trespasses and sins, and God, being a just God, okay, you have your son does wrong, you have to spank him. No. You would be an unjust father if you did not correct your son.
Yes.
He deserved it. I'll tell you, I don't want to get sidetracked on my little stories, but my youngest son, Timothy, I spanked that boy and spanked him and spanked him and spanked him. I said, oh my God, I spanked this boy more than all the other boys. Is he ever going to learn his lesson? But you know what? When he became a young man, he sat at my table and he said, Dad, I want you to know, I'm born again. Jesus is my Savior. I said, hallelujah. I don't have to spank him anymore. Hallelujah. But God, being a just God, He must send you to hell if you reject the salvation that Jesus Christ provided. So, I was a dead soul. I was a dead man on my way to hell. And so, when I came to Jesus Christ, the same way you came, God had to provide redemption. But how did He do it? We know the story. Jesus came, He died on the cross, He gave His life to pay the wages of sin is death. But, aren't you glad? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God gave us the option. You can die in your sins, and God, being a just God, will send you to hell. Or you can repent of your sin and let Jesus Christ save you from that horrible pit. So, let me tell you what happened. When, I'm not going to say me, but I'm going to say all of us. When we were on that altar and we were crying out for our sins, Jesus, save me from my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. Save me from my sins. The blood that Jesus shed was His life. It was redemption. It was His life. And when you repented of your sin, that blood touched your soul and you became a living soul. Hallelujah! I was dead and I came alive. And I tell you, when the power of God flowed through me, I felt that life and that energy. Brethren, I'm here to tell you today, there is power in that blood. Hallelujah! Some of you mothers, you have boys, young boys or young girls that are growing out. Call on the blood of Jesus for your sons and your daughters. Call on the blood of Jesus to save them. Some of us who are older, we have children that are still wandering around in the world. Call on the blood of Jesus to save them. Say, Jesus, save my son, save my daughter by the blood of Jesus, because I'm here to tell you there is power in the blood. Power over death. Power over sin. Power over evil. We have power to call upon the blood of Jesus for our country. We can say, God, save Belize. Save Belize. Save our young generation from going off and going into drugs, going into alcohol, going into fornication. God, save Belize. Save our children. Are we crying out? We have power with God. Do you know why we have power with God? Because Jesus Christ gave us power through His blood. Hallelujah! There is power in the blood. Now, I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. The beloved brother Paul. You know, Paul was a dead man. And he was going around and he was killing Christians. And he said, I have authority from the Pharisees to kill Christians and everybody that preaches this Jesus Christ. But he was a dead man. And what happened? He got knocked off his high horse, didn't he? And Jesus appeared to him. And that day, Paul became a living soul. Amen. So the same thing that happened to Paul, the same thing that happened to Mark, the same thing that happened to Val, the same thing that happened to them happened to all of us. We were dead and we became alive. So we look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. You should know this. Every soul winner should know this. When you see somebody in the market, you should say to them, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you, sinner. You see them in the marketplace. You see them all over. Christ died for you. You should know these words by heart that you can quote them. Okay. Much more then, being now justified by His blood. What am I justified by? His blood. That's why when I was on that altar, when you were on that altar, when we were on that altar, we were dead in trespasses and sins, but God said, but no, no judgment. The blood has justified him. And now we are free because of the blood. Amen! Amen! It should excite us. It should really excite our souls to know that Jesus Christ... Do you know that Jesus Christ died for every one of us individual? Amen. He saw you from before the foundation of the world. He saw you and He said, I'm going to die for you, sister. I'm dying for you. My blood was shed for you. So when you say, God commended his love toward, what is your first name?
Delilah.
What is it?
Delilah.
Delaina. Did I say it right? Delaina?
Delilah.
Delilah. Okay. But God commended his love toward Delilah. In that while she was yet a sinner, Christ died for Delilah. Put your name in there. God gave his son. God gave his life. God gave his blood for our salvation. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 9. Much more then. Oh, there's more. Wait a minute. No. I have the blood of Jesus. I am saved from hell. I'm on my way to heaven. But Paul says, wait a minute. Am I reading that right?
Yes, sir.
He says, there's much more. Woo! Much more then. Being now justified by his blood. Amen. I'm justified by his blood. He shed his blood for Delilah. He shed his blood for Jim. He shed his blood for each one of us. Okay. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were sinners, we were enemies of God. Are we enemies of God now? No. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. When we were the enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, Paul says it again, much more being reconciled. Am I reading that right? Okay, so we know the grammar, the grammar of the sentence. We were, that means what? Past tense. Thank God my sins are under the blood. Amen? That's my past. The devil can't come and say, yes, Brother Jim, but you were a liar. You were a cheat. You were a bad hombre. But I can say to the devil, yes, you're right. But my sins are under the blood. The power of the blood. The blood has the power to remove my sin as far as the east is from the west and to remember it no more. Amen? So we were reconciled. Past tense. Now, what does he say? We were reconciled. Okay, verse 10. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled. Oh, okay. So, Delilah, you know English, you know the grammar. Okay, so past tense, being reconciled is what? Present?
Present
tense, yes. So that means the blood saved me, but the blood is presently saving me. Amen?
Amen.
What do I need to be saved from? What do I need to be saved from? Do you know God's intention is that we not be good Belizeans. That we not be good Americans. That we not be good Africans. But what? That we be good Christian-like. You know what Christian means? Christian means like Christ. Christ-like. Isn't it God's first intention that we be good Christians. And because we are good Christians, Christ-like, we will be good Belizeans. Amen? We will honor our country. People will come to Belize and say, yes, the Belizean people are very good people. You know why? Because they are Christ-like. So we want to be Christ-like first. So what is it? We are being reconciled. The blood has to work on the inside to change the man. Because remember now, I was born an American. I didn't ask to be born an American. But I was born an American, and an American has American ways. And let me tell you, American ways are not always good. You can say amen. We don't mind, right, Rita? We don't mind. Because you know what? We don't want to be good Americans. We want to be good Christians. We want to be like Christ. And then we will become good Americans. And so, the blood, brethren, the blood is working in here to change some of those old ways. My mother did not become born again until she was in her 50s. She took us to church. She would read her Bible every morning. For everyone who would look at her would say, "Wow, she is a good Christian lady." She was not born again. The blood did not touch her soul until she was in her 50s. But she had certain superstitions. You never, when the Bible is laying on the table, never put a glass of water on top of the Bible. Never do that. Superstition. Come on. When I was a baby, I didn't know this. But when I was a baby, she took us to a church and she had them sprinkle water on us. I didn't find out till I was a young man. I said, "Mother, we believe in baptism." Baptism means what? Immersion. You go down into the water. Death, burial, resurrection. And you come out of the water in newness of life. Amen? So baptism can never be anything but immersion. Immersed into the water. And so I said, "Mother, why did you do that?" She said, "I didn't know any better." What? Tell me what it was. Religious spirit. Do you think, please don't raise your hand, but do you think any of us have religious ways, religious spirits? Don't raise your hand, but I can raise mine. Because I know not all of my religious ways please God. But guess what? God, we are what? We are being reconciled. The blood that brought me up out of that horrible pit is still working in me today. Amen? We should all say amen. We should all say hallelujah. Because the blood is working in my soul right now. While the brother is reading the Psalms 119, the word is working, the blood is working. While we are singing the songs, "This is the day that the Lord has made," the blood is working. Amen. Listen, when you go to your job, when you're out doing your construction work, right? When you're out doing your work and swinging your hammer and doing things, the blood is working. Amen. Because I may work with somebody on the job, and he says, "Brother, why are you doing it this way?" And he wants to pick a fight with you. The blood has to work against the anger. Amen.
Amen.
Do we still have to deal with things like that?
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little friction between husband and wife. You know, maybe a little friction between brother and sister. You know, it doesn't matter, brother and sister, big or small. You know, my sister is still my sister, and we may have a disagreement. You know, but the blood, there is power in the blood.
Amen.
There's power in the blood to transform. I am being reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the blood is working. Brethren, when we fall short of His glory, call on the blood. Amen? Call on the blood. Because the same blood that saved you at the altar, brought you up out of that horrible pit, that same blood can forgive us when we fall. When we fall short. When we get angry. When we fall. God, help us. Help us, help us, help us. I'm telling you, I wish there were more young people here. Let us pray that God will give us young people. Give us the next generation. Because our young people are wandering around hopelessly looking for something. I tell you, I know what they're looking for. They're looking to have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by Him, we have peace with God. Okay. But we need to pray for young people to come in.
Amen.
Young people are being distracted by these little devices. Smartphones, tablets, you know, they take in, and it's a thief, really. It's a thief. And all of us need to guard our hearts, because that little device will take you down a road of destruction, take you down a road of perdition. Guard your heart. If you fall and you look at something you shouldn't be looking at on your little device, call on the blood of Jesus. We are being reconciled. We are being changed inside. So what is the last? Okay, so sister, we have a grammar. We have, Delilah, we have a grammar session here. So we were reconciled, past tense. And we are being reconciled, present tense. So now he says, so much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So what is the next tense?
Future
tense. So, listen. The blood saved me. Past tense. The blood is working inside of me. Present tense. The blood is going to complete His work in each one of us. The blood is going to make us like Christ. Brethren, we need to know that the power of that blood is able to deliver our souls and to present us blameless unto Christ. Now, what is it that God is working on in my soul? Okay. Who am I? Who am I? I am, if I had a board, I would draw a little circle. I am a soul. It's very important. I am not a body. You see my body, but I am not a body. I am a soul. I live in a body. But God gave us a spirit. So, it's very important that we understand. I am a soul. I live in a body. And I have a spirit. My spirit connects me to God. That is my connection to God. When I was wandering around, I was a dead man, dead in trespasses and sins. It was the Spirit of God that still talked to my conscience in my spirit and told my soul, Jim, you're a sinner. You're going to hell. See, so listen. When you see these bad men out there, know that every one of them has a spirit. And their spirit can speak to their conscience. The Holy Spirit can speak to their conscience and tell them, you need to listen to what the brothers are saying. You need to repent of your sin. So don't look down on the people in the world. They are just sinners that need the same blood that you had.
Right.
Yes. So, we are a soul. Guess what my soul is? My soul has a mind. I have my thinking. Is my thinking always right? Oh no. Is my thinking always good? Are my thoughts always pure? No, 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 no. That's why I need the blood. That's why I need the blood to cleanse my mind and my thoughts. Because my mind and my thoughts are not always pure. What about my emotions? I step on your toe, you say, oh, step on my toe. Who are you to step on my toe? Anger. Our emotions rise up. Sometimes, like I said, the little friction between the husband and the wife. What do you think? Do you think the devil is just going to go away? Oh, I see he's a Christian now. I'll leave him alone. Is that the way it works? Tell me. Is that the way it works? I need the blood. I need the blood every day of my life.
Hallelujah.
And yes, the blood can help us to overcome these thoughts. But we must put the blood on our mind. Jesus, cleanse my mind from all of these thoughts. Yes. Cleanse my emotions. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be in. When I came to God, I was an angry person. And do you think I instantly became not an angry person? Huh? Come on. When you became a Christian, didn't God little by little begin to work on you and said, no, no. And then what you had to do, I am being reconciled. I had to call on the blood, change these emotions, change these appetites, these desires. So I have a mind, I have emotions, I have desires, and I have a will. My mother used to tell me, she would say, Jim, you are stubborn as an ox. You're a stubborn ox. And she would, now God, your parents never said that to you, right? Nobody, your parents never said that to you. But she'd say, you're a stubborn ox. And she would discipline me, you know. But I was a stubborn ox. But guess what? God can change that stubbornness to obedience. Like Mark said, the sucking calf, surrendered to the will of God. Now, we know that the blood will complete its perfect work in all of us. I want to read one more scripture here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, okay, I'll give you a minute to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Incidentally, we need to bring our Bibles to the meeting. The Word of God is very important. And it's very important that we read this Word and read this Word together. Because God, this Word is God speaking to every one of us. We need to hear what God has to say. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Well, let's pick up the thought in verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept. Did we say something about being kept in God? We are kept by the power of God. What is the power that keeps us? It's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Brethren, we needed that blood when we were saved on that altar. We need that blood every day of our life. But we need the power of the blood to take us on all the way. Don't we want to go all the way with God?
Amen.
Amen? We want to go all the way with God.
Yes.
Okay. So, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, we believe that salvation is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? We believe that when we got down before God at the altar, we received salvation by the blood of Jesus. Amen? We are all agreed. And we are agreed that God, present tense, is working in our souls. Every day. Amen? And I need the blood. I receive the blood. And I receive the work of the blood every day of my life. Amen? Present tense. Delilah says there's present tense. Okay. Now, am I reading this right? Let me read it again. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you think this is that future tense? That we were saved? We are being saved? And we will yet receive a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Brethren, there is a work of the blood yet to be completed in our lives. And that work of the blood is to take us on into final steps of salvation, if I could use the word, even on unto perfection. God wants, you see, if you set your goals low, guess what you will achieve? Very low goals. If you set your goals here, you will achieve only this. But if you say, God, I want all of what you have for me. We have a capacity. Remember, I said we are a soul, we live in a body, and we have a spirit. We have a capacity inside of us that we can have as much of God as we desire.
Amen.
If you want this much of God, guess what you will get? This much of God. If you want this much of God, that's what you'll get. But if you say to God, I want all that you have for me. I want the end of my salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
Amen.
And guess what? It is only the power of the blood working in our souls that will give us that full salvation.
Amen.
Brethren, I want to leave you with these thoughts. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
I had late last year, I had a vision. Or no, excuse me, I had a dream. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Do we believe that?
Amen.
It's in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. Do we believe we are in the last times?
Yes.
Do we believe that this salvation ready to be revealed is what we are looking for?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And we believe in the power of the blood. Amen? So, I had this dream. And in this dream, I came into this big meeting place, church, whatever. And they had just finished their meeting. And I came in for the last part of their meeting, and the meeting was dead. You know what I'm talking about? That sometimes there's life in the meeting. When we sing and open our hearts with all of our heart, the Spirit of God comes and you can feel the life. Do you know what that life is? The life of the flesh is in the blood. When Jesus gave us His blood, He what? He gave us His life. And we should have life in our meetings. Because why? Because we have the blood. Hallelujah!
Amen.
And so, I was in this meeting and the meeting was dead. It was flat. And so people were kind of picking up their things, getting ready to leave the door. And I saw this man standing there to one side, very tall and, what you'd call stately, very stately. And so I walked over to him and I said, "So, the meeting was kind of flat." He said, "Yes, but you have the power to change that." And so I said, "Yes." And immediately he said to me, he said, "If you sing this song, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. If you do that and get down on the floor and smite the curse that's over the meeting, I'll break the curse and the life will come back." And so I did as he said. And so as the people were leaving, I said, "Brethren, could we sing one more song before we go?" And we began to sing the song. "There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb." Guess what happened? In the dream, the curse was broken. The heaviness was broken. And people began to sing. And the life began to come into the meeting. And people began to come back. And the meeting was revived. And we began to now really worship God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Because of why? Because of the power of the blood. Brethren, there is power in the blood. When you're sick, don't immediately call the doctor. Call on the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood to heal. Amen? Jesus Christ will heal our bodies by His blood. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ will save our sons and daughters from destruction, from going the wrong way. He will save them by His blood. Say, "Jesus, save my son, save my daughter by the blood of Jesus." Amen? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood to change this man. If I have lust in my mind, if I have anger in my soul, whatever it is that's working to work against that Christ-like nature, call on the power of the blood. There is power in the blood. Amen. Do we believe that? Amen. 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 So I say, God bless you, and remember that God gave us this blood as a weapon. against the power of the enemy. Let us use our weapon. Amen? Let us use our weapon. The greatest weapon that we have is the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us use our weapon against the power of the enemy. Could we sing that one song in closing? Would that be all right? There is power, but I want to hear the words, brother. Do we have a good singer? Mm-hmm.